The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Well, we've reached that time, unfortunately, when the regular Reader's Digest has been exhausted because they don't give us enough of it anymore. And so we're going to be doing some highlights. We'll continue with some of our really weird stuff from the States. And then we'll do some other things about the States as well to kind of fill the time here. I apologize for that, but there's nothing I can do. I even wrote Reader's Digest to see if they had any kind of response, and I got basically a swing around the bush thing that said nothing. So anyway, we'll continue. Hopefully by the time we get around to next month, we'll have a regular Reader's Digest and we get back to our regular programming. Anyway, what are the weird things in the States? Well, first of all, in New Jersey, there's Lucy the Elephant. Listed on the National Park Registry of Historic Landmarks, Lucy the Elephant is a classic site just south of Atlantic City in Margate, New Jersey, and I'm fortunate enough to have seen that, that was built in 1881. Visitors can climb inside the 6 stories tall elephant and enjoy a panoramic view of the Atlantic Ocean and nearby beaches from atop her back. And she was restored about 25 years ago. She really was beat up. But we're talking 6-story tall elephant. Figure that one out. New Mexico, there's a spaceship house. Located off Central Avenue in the historic Nob Hill neighborhood of Albuquerque are several private homes with very unique architecture, including the home designed by architect Bart Prince. It's primarily known to locals as a spaceship or the bug house, and it really does look like a big bug. And then we have the world's largest pancake griddle. Brickett Mills, the annual Buckwheat Harvest Festival from Panyan, New York. World record pancake. In 1987, the city of Panyan laid claim to cooking the largest pancake in the world, weighing in at more than 4,000 pounds. To create this 1.7 million calorie pancake, coated with 15 gallons of syrup, required an extra large pancake griddle, which visitors can see displayed on the side of the Brickett Mills building. North Carolina, and I didn't know this, has the last shell-shaped gas station. Winston-Salem is the home to the very last shell gas station that is shaped like a shell, which you'll find north of I-40 on East Sprague Street. This unique 1930s roadside attraction was one of 8 built by the Quality Oil Company, a Winston-based marketeer of Shell Oil. While no longer selling gas, the station is now a regional office and information center about the station and other preservation projects. And it's bright yellow with a red door in the front and old-style gas pumps outside. In North Dakota, the world's largest buffalo monument. Did you know the buffalo is the first national mammal of the United States? Here's your chance to grab a selfie with a 26-foot-tall, 60-ton concrete buffalo, which happens to be the world's largest buffalo monument in Jamestown. Constructed in 1959, the statue is named Dakota Thunder and just a short walk from the National Buffalo Museum. Ohio, and I knew about this one, Longaberger Baskets Building. Once the headquarters of the Longaberger Company, famous for its basket, this building-turned basket stands 7 stories and is modeled after the company's medium market basket. You'll find this giant basket 40 miles east of Columbus off Ohio 16 in Newark. Just the basket handles alone weigh a mass of 150 tons. And Newark is where my mother was from. Oklahoma, the Golden Driller. One of the tallest freestanding statues in the U.S. at 76 feet tall, Tulsa's Golden Driller serves as Oklahoma State Monument. The Mid-Continental Supply Company originally constructed the statue in 1953 for the International Petroleum Exposition, though it now stands at the entrance to the Tulsa State Fairgrounds. Oregon is the Prehistoric Gardens. Located along the southern Oregon coast between the Gold Beach and Port Orford is an annual prehistoric rainforest to which the businessmen added life-size dinosaur replicas to recreate what might have looked like millions of years ago. At Prehistoric Gardens, you'll find 23 scientifically correct life-size dinosaurs, including a 46-foot-tall Brachiosaurus. In Pennsylvania, there's the Haynes Shoe House. Built in 1948, the Haynes Shoe House in York was designed to look like a high-top work shoe as an advertising ploy. But as a full 5-story house, inside you can take a tour of the stucco home from spring through October, as well as enjoy hand-dipped ice cream in the ice cream parlor and stop at the shoe house gift shop. In Rhode Island, it's the Newport Tower. It's been an ongoing mystery to solve who built the stone tower that stands in Touro Park in Newport. While it is traditionally held that it was the remains of a 17th century windmill, others hold the theory that it was built by the Vikings. Come on and see for yourself. South Carolina is the peachoid. This region of South Carolina is known for its peaches. So in 1981, the Board of Public Works in Gaffney decided to build a water tower and paint it to look like a peach. Set off I-85, a main interstate between Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina, the peach is said to resemble a certain rear part of the human anatomy, and if you've ever driven that way, it certainly does. South Dakota has the world's largest pheasant. South Dakota has some of the best pheasant hunting in the world, with the city of Huron a top spot. And this giant pheasant made of fiberglass and steel reminds everyone who comes to town. Built in 1959, the monument sits on Highway 14. The 50s seem to be a big time for building these things. Tennessee is the world's largest cedar bucket. A visit to Cannonsburg Village in Murfreesboro showcases early pioneer life. It also happens to be the home of the world's largest cedar bucket. Standing 6 feet tall and built in 1887 by the Tennessee Red Cedar Wooden Works Company, the bucket once stood at the 1893 Chicago World's Fair and the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair. The original bucket burned in 2005, but was rebuilt shortly after that. And in the Texas, they have the Texas Eiffel Tower. When your town's name is Paris, you might as well have your own Eiffel Tower, as does the city of Paris, Texas. But this one, of course, is topped by a cowboy hat in the traditional style. By the way, the cowboy hat is pink. The tower stands 65 feet tall with a 3.5-foot tall hat. The city added lightning to the tower in 2012. Utah, the Hole in the Rock. What you will find at Hole in the Rock, just south of Moab, Utah? What an eclectic collection of many bizarre things, from exotic petting zoo and a cactus made from bowling balls to an aerial tram and a carved bust of Franklin D. Roosevelt. Hole in the Rock is set around a home carved out of the surrounding sandstone, complete with a fireplace, 14 rooms built around large pillars, and even a bathtub cut into the rock. Vermont, it's silos. Two concrete silos, remnant of the Bell Gates Lumber Mill that closed in 2002, stand at the junction of Routes 108 and 15 in Jeffersonville. Today they have been turned into a public art painted by R. Sarah Bradford, and it shows a picture of a man with we're talking probably a 25-foot tall tower, with a picture of a man with a hat, a working man. He's got suspenders, got a bird on his shoulder, and carrying an axe in one hand. Virginia is Foam Hedge. Stonehenge made out of foam? Yes, indeed. You'll find it at Foam Hedge, Cox Farm in Centerville. The creation of Mark Klein originally stood at Virginia's Natural Bridge. The attraction closed from January through March and is only open during limited hours the rest of the year. And in Washington, America's favorite Bigfoot. See where the movie Harry and the Hendersons was filmed in 1986 at a coffee shop in Index. You know it by the giant 14-foot-tall smiling Bigfoot statue standing outside. The Espresso Chalet offers coffee and the must-have Bigfoot-shaped cookie. In West Virginia, it's the Mothman statue. The legend of the Mothman is ongoing in West Virginia, where many people say they have seen this moth-looking creature dating back to 1966. It even inspired a movie, The Mothman Prophecies. Snap a selfie with a statue of the creature that stands next to the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant. And in Wisconsin, the world's largest fish. Make a pit stop at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame in Hayward, which also happens to be in the shape of a 4-story tall fiberglass muskie that is as long as a Boeing 757. Head to the Hall of Fame in the fish's tail and make your way to its mouth, where you can look out the observation platform and, of course, have someone down below to snap your pic. Wyoming, the Jackalope Museum. Hybrid of a jackrabbit and an antelope. A jackalope is a cowboy legend in Wyoming, and the town of Dubois has a museum dedicated to it. Located inside a gas station, you'll find some info about the jackalope, as well as snacks, ice cream, and souvenirs. Keep an eye out for the giant jackalope outside the store. How about the most popular tourist attraction in every state? Whether you feel like taking a road trip or you just need some fun facts to add to your dinner party, you'll enjoy this list of popular tourist attractions. Alabama. Alabama Gulf Coast beaches. If Alabama wasn't the location for your next summer beach vacation, you may want to reconsider. There are 32 miles of white sand made from quartz grains that have washed down from the Appalachian Mountains thousands of years. That's probably why over 6 million people visit Alabama's Gulf Coast beaches annually. Be sure to check out the bucket list for any idea. Alaska, the Kenyi Fjords Wildlife Cruise. Alaska is the place to go for spotting breathtaking wildlife. In fact, the amount of visitors who travel to Alaska to see wildlife has increased 45%. The Kenai Fjords Wildlife Cruise will bring you up close to whales, sea lions, and puffins. A five-hour trip starts at noon and covers 55 miles of sea. It was the best $98 you ever spent. It's also listed at the top of the 15 best things to do in Alaska by TripAdvisor. Arizona, of course, the Grand Canyon. A friend of mine just came back from there having taken a helicopter tour. People from all over the world flock to the Grand Canyon for its overwhelming natural grandeur and to experience hiking, rafting, and camping adventures. Nearly 5 million people trek through it each year. But if you want to avoid the crowds while getting some of the best views possible, avoid the South Rim and check out the North Rim. It's much more isolated, provides cooler summer temperatures, and is largely shut down in the winter, save for backcountry camping and cross-country skiing. Arkansas, Hot Springs National Park. Skip the beach and opt for a new type of relaxation at Hot Springs National Park. It's America's oldest national preserve and the smallest national park, and it's the number one emerging vacation destination in the country, according to Priceline during a CBS interview. If you want to do it like the locals, head to Buckstoff Baths, which offer separate floors for men and women to experience the natural healing waters. There's no reservation policy, perfect for spontaneous travelers rolling through. Doors open at 8 a.m., so get there early. You'll also want to check out the 10 most gorgeous hot springs around the world, get the chance. And, of course, in California, it's the Golden Gate Bridge. Get your cameras ready when you travel to California, because you don't want to miss out on the amazing sight that is the Golden Gate Bridge. A study done by a professor at Indiana University found that this bridge is actually the world's most photographed bridge. It's understandable. It's gorgeous. Colorado, Rocky Mountain National Park. Rocky Mountain National Park is just a few miles from the town of Estes Park and is the ideal locale for nature lovers with its mesmerizing mountain peaks, shimmering alpine lakes and meadows, forests, and hordes of wildlife. No wonder it draws more than 4 million visitors a year. To avoid the heavy summer crowds, the best time to go is late May until early June, or just after Labor Day until mid-October. If you're looking for an unusual place to stay, check out the Daoist Wellness Resort with Oxygen Bar. Connecticut is the Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History. Yale Peabody Museum of Natural History is a must-stop if you're cruising nearby Yale University. It's a history buff's playground with comprehensive collections including New England birds, dinosaurs, Greek and Roman antiquities, and even the Egyptian mummy. In fact, Smithsonian magazine called it the Sistine Chapel of Evolution. Adults pay $13 for entry, but if you want to visit for free, go on a Thursday when the museum offers pay-as-you-wish admission from 2 to 5 p.m. from September to June. Donations are encouraged, but admission is technically free. The House, Delaware, Rehoboth Beach. If a long weekend summer fun filled with crabbing, swimming, and tax-free shopping sounds like your thing, book a beach house on Rehoboth Beach. It's an East Coaster haven that fills up in the summertime and is delightful in the fall, too. Be sure to get locally grown goods at the farmer's market held every Tuesday from noon to 4 p.m. Grab a brew at the popular Dogfish Head Pub on Rehoboth Avenue. Can't catch the market? Check out an eating Rehoboth walking tour, which is the top-rated thing to do in Delaware by TripAdvisor. Florida, of course, it has to be Disney World. Disney World is a Florida staple that you have to visit at least once in your lifetime. It's so popular that Orlando has broken the record for the city with the most tourists. If you've been to all four parks, then be sure to check out the newest addition, Pandora, the world of Avatar and Animal Kingdom and Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios. And if the lines aren't your thing, the resort offers something called a VIP tour services. While it's kind of kept hush-hush, it costs a pretty penny. It's your golden ticket to hopping on rides without the line, door-to-door transportation without the parking fees, and weights and more. Prefer to keep costs in check? Start with these four money-saving tips for your Disney vacation, which we're not going to read. Georgia, the Georgia Aquarium. The Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta is one of the largest aquariums in the world, and it's home to whale sharks, sea otters, jellyfish, and lots more that live in over 10 million gallons of water combined. A visit to the Georgia Aquarium also means you're supporting their research and rehabilitation efforts for animals like sea turtles and sea lions. Over 2 million guests visit the aquarium each year. Buy tickets in advance online to avoid the long lines during the weekends. And in Hawaii, it's the Pearl Harbor and USS Arizona Memorial. This memorial, dedicated to those who perished on the U.S. Arizona during World War II, stands above the remains of the sunken ship and is the number one visitor destination in Hawaii. Begin at the visitor center for information on the harbor and the Japanese attack, and then take a ferry shuttle out to the memorial. If you're one of the first 1,300 people to arrive when the site opens at 7 a.m., you could score a free ticket to tours. If you'd rather sleep in, be sure to purchase a ticket ahead of time. Arise as early as possible. Tours begin at 8 a.m. and run every 15 minutes until 3 p.m., and leave enough room in your schedule for the various other attractions, including the USS Bowfin submarine, the USS Missouri ship, and the Pacific Aviation Museum. Idaho, Craters of the Moon Monument and Preserve. This 400-square-foot preserve is your ticket to exploring the great outdoors in Idaho like you never have before. It's a trending adventure on the official Visit Idaho site because of its popularity. Composed of three young lava fields that spread across 500,000 acres of wild country on the Snake River Plain, deep cracks resulting from erupted lava have created what is known as the Great Rift. Be sure to hike Caves Trail, a 1.6-mile hike that visits four lava tubes. Visits during shoulder season of spring and fall to avoid extreme during, so they're supposed to be colder seasons of spring and fall to avoid extreme temperatures. Somebody made a typo. Illinois, Millennium Park. The touristy lure of Chicago's Millennium Park is filled with modern architecture and public art, including Cloud Glate, a.k.a. the Bean, a giant bean-like sculpture that reflects the city's skyline. While there's sure to be a large crowd here all jostling to snap a photo, the location has broken records with the number of visitors it has. Take a breather and check out the Lurie Garden, which is separated from the city by a 15-foot-high hedge consisting of conifers and deciduous trees. Here you'll find a secret garden filled with perennials, shrubs, grasses, and trees, as well as a trestle treat of tulips, cherry blossoms, and daffodils in the spring. Indiana, it's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Every Memorial Day weekend, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway comes alive with the best drivers in the world for the Indy 500. Making it there for the race is a weekend of activities, the race, the parties, the celebrities, and everything in between. The rest of the year, the Speedway remains one of the most popular tourist spots, thanks to its Speedway Hall of Fame, golf course, and a chance to drive a real Indy car on the track. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Iowa, the Field of Dreams filming location. Located in Dyersville, the Field of Dream film kept things real by opting out of a faked Hollywood set and instead filming at the Lansing Family Farm in Iowa. Relive the 1980s baseball cult classic at the farmhouse and baseball field that are open to visitors. Even cooler, the Field of Dreams home is now available for nightly rentals. This place is one of the top-rated tourist attractions in the state. Kansas, the Monroe Elementary School. It's a Brown versus Board of Education Natural Historic Site. Take a step back in history and visit the former Monroe Elementary School in Topeka. It was once of four all-black elementary schools in the area that sparked the Supreme Court case that ended segregation in public schools. It has since been turned into the Brown versus National Board of Education Historic Site, an experiential civil rights museum run by the National Park Service. It's a sobering but important look back at American history. Kentucky, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. That sounds like fun. If you're a fan of Jim Beam, Maker's Mark, or Wild Turkey, then the Kentucky Bourbon Trail is for you. See and taste the only alcohol that is distinctive to the United States. Consisting of 10 distilleries, you'll want to spread your visit across several days. Some are 70 miles apart. Or scale it down to just your favorite. A popular route begins in Louisville, heads southeast towards Springville, and ends in Lexington. Be sure to check out the oldest bar and the oldest restaurant in Kentucky along the way, Talbot Tavern in Bardstown. Louisiana, Bourbon Street, French Quarter. The French Quarter, Bourbon Street, is the spot for jazz, Cajun, and Creole cuisine, and of course, Mardi Gras. But if you want to board the most popular festivals while still getting fair weather, head to New Orleans after Mardi Gras, February or March, and before Jazz Fest, late April, early May. September to November is another mellow season when the heat and humidity have died down. If you look for something the locals love, even the hustle, in the hustle and bustle of the French Quarter, check out Fitzel's European Jazz Pub. You won't find the usual cover bands here, just some classy nightly jazz shows. With over 10 million visitors, New Orleans is always breaking Louisiana tourism records. Sorry about that. Maine Acadia National Park. Maine is brimming with opportunities to enjoy the great outdoors, and one of the best is Acadia National Park. Relish in the hidden beaches, sunrise over Cadillac Mountain and the park's 47,000 unspoiled acres. With over 2 million visitors annually, Acadia is one of the most visited national parks in the country. For an intense hike, check out Precipice Trail, which features narrow ledges, switchbacks, and a 1,000-foot vertical climb to the top. Top off your trip with an authentic seafood shack experience at Stewman's Lobster Pound. Maryland, the Annapolis U.S. Maryland Academy. Dubbed the sailing capital of the nation, the city's historic district includes the 18th-century brick houses, the Maryland State Capitol Building, and breathtaking architecture, monuments, and Naval History Museum at the United States Naval Academy. It's listed as a popular point of interest in the official Annapolis tourist website. Annapolis is also home of the state's oldest bar, Middleton Tavern, which was once the hangout for the Continental Congress and our founding fathers, including George Washington, Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson. These days, people come here for the famous Maryland crab cakes, which are really good. Massachusetts, Faneuil Hall Marketplace. Faneuil Hall dates back to the early 1740s, when it served as Boston's market hall and public meeting space, where the colonists gathered to protest British taxes, among other concerns. By the mid-19th century, it became the place for anti-slavery meetings and rallies. Now it's one of the most visited tourist attractions in the United States, let alone Massachusetts. The entire Faneuil Hall Marketplace is made up of nearly Market Hall's Quincy Market, North Market, and South Market, and is constantly bustling with tourists, buskers, nine-to-fivers on their lunch break, and foodies alike. Top eats include New England clam chowder from Boston Chowder Company and cupcakes from Wicked Good Cupcakes. Michigan, it's the Henry Ford Museum. America's industrial period is revived at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn and welcomes about 2 million visitors annually. Here, 12 acres offer a mesmerizing collection of antique machinery, automobiles, locomotives, the rocking chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in when he was shot, the first car Ford ever built, the Rosa Parks bus, and the Lincoln JFK was riding in when he was assassinated. For a unique experience, head to the museum to Greenfield Village, where you can purchase a ride pass and take the unlimited rides on the restored Model T horse-drawn vehicles, the carousel, and a Model AA bus. Minnesota, the Mall of America. Before online shopping and Amazon delivering products right to your door, people left their home to go shopping in person. Gosh, really? They did that? Window shopping and carrying bags through the mall was definitely a favorite pastime for some. In 1992, when the Mall of America opened, it became the largest mall in the United States. Even today, people love visiting the mall. About 40 million tourists come to the center every year. Beyond shopping, there's a Nickelodeon Universe theme park, an aquarium, mini golf course, a movie theater, and seriously, so much more. Mississippi, the Vicksburg National Military Park. During what's considered one of the greatest battles of the Civil War, Vicksburg experienced a 47-day siege that resulted in more than 20,000 casualties and ended up with the Union taking control of the Mississippi River. History buffs flock to this site, where you can visit 1,325 monuments, 20 miles of trenches, and tour the restored USS Cairo, which was the first U.S. ship to be sunk by a torpedo in 1862. The National Park Service has reported that over 500,000 visitors come to this site every year. To make the most of your experience, book a professional guide to take you back in time and show you all about civilian life, military operations of the campaign, siege, and the defense of Vicksburg. In Missouri, it's the Gateway Arch, which I have been fortunate enough to visit. That's quite a treat. The gateway to the west, an ode to St. Louis, the Gateway Arch was erected in the 1960s. Today it remains an iconic monument on the city skyline. Witness the nation's tallest monument and all-inclusive experience with a tram and cruise combo, which offers entry to the arch facility, a tram ride to the top of the arch for panoramic views, a documentary movie, and a Mississippi River cruise. But I will warn you, if you're claustrophobic, that tram ride is very claustrophobic. Montana, the Yellowstone River, whitewater rafting. A trip to Yellowstone National Park means a chance to view native wildlife, from bison to bears, pelicans, and moose. The best way to cover a lot of ground is a whitewater raft trip down the Yellowstone River, the last major undammed river in the lower 48 states, which flows an incredible 671 miles from its source southeast of Yellowstone all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. The rafting opportunities are top-notch. Yellowstone Raft Company prides itself on being the only outfitter fully permitted by both the National Park Service and the National Forest Service to run trips on the Yellowstone River. Try a safe and fun half or full day of adventure at one of the country's top five most visited national parks. Nebraska is the Chimney Rock. Chimney Rock is the result of erosion along the bluffs of the southern edge of the North Platte River Valley, with a 325-foot spire made of rock towering over the plains. Discover a part of history where over 300 settlers moving west describe the landmark in travel journals, making it Nebraska's most recognizable landmark. Designated a National Historic Site in 1956, the several-million-year-old site is a must along the stop the Chimney Rock Visitor Center. Admission is $3 for adults, and it gives you the opportunity to enjoy the museum exhibits, media presentations, and other educational material concerning life on the overland trails. The Nevada, of course, is the Las Vegas Strip. The Strip is a 4.2-mile stretch of South Las Vegas that by no means goes under the radar. Over 42 million visitors fly into the city every year. Gourmet restaurants, gambling galore, and DJ-hosted pool parties all await. If you want to break up your usual Vegas experience with something a bit more grounding, head to the Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area. These sandstone rocks, dyed by iron oxide over centuries, stand tall thousands of feet into the sky. Hiking and off-roading are highly suggested here. New Hampshire, Mount Washington. The highest point in New England, Mount Washington is the home to some seriously fluctuating temperatures, from a balmy 72 to bone-chilling minus 102. You can hike, drive, or take the Cogreeway to the summit. The Otter Road opened in 1861 as America's first man-made attraction and will take you to the highest peak in the Northeast. If you come during the winter months and are looking to spend the night, Harvard Cabin with Huntington Ravine offers a cozy place with a stokewood stove, stovetop for your meals, and a loft bed. New Jersey is the Atlantic City Boardwalk. When you think of the Jersey Shore, Atlantic City is its lively gambling resorts, wide beaches, and iconic boardwalk likely spring to mind. AC's tourism market is alive and thriving, with 27 million visitors traveling here each year. When you're not rolling some dice, be sure to check out Tony Baloney's, an inventive pizza joint serving up pies with toppings like chicken and waffle, fig, homemade goat cheese, and local honey and macaroni salad. New Mexico is the Albuquerque Sunrise Balloon Ride. There's something magical about a morning sky filled with colorful hot air balloons, and when you wake up to hop into a balloon to join the fun, it's even more electric. The one-hour flight begins before sunrise and provides spectacular views of the Rio Grande Valley and the Sandia Mountains. If you can make it in the fall, the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta is a spectacular 9-day event that is the biggest balloon event in the country. New York, the Empire State Building. While the sweeping views from the iconic Empire State Building is a must-see, it's a process to make it to the Empire State Observatory on the 102nd floor. You must wait in three lines, one for security, another for buying tickets, and the third for the elevator up. At the very least, you can skip your ticket line by buying yours online. If you're really pressured for time, purchase an express pass. It's double the price of the regular ticket, but you get to skip at the front of the elevator line. You won't want to miss the sight that over 4 million tourists see every year, and it is really an experience. North Carolina, our favorite, the Biltmore Estate. Just outside the funky town of Asheville, you'll find the historic Vanderbilt family Biltmore Estate, a 250-room mansion that remains one of America's greatest castles. The estate-turned-museum is completely self-sustaining and even has its own winery, and it draws over 1 million visitors annually. Your best bet is to go in the spring when the flowers are in full bloom, and you can fully enjoy the beauty of the garden that was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, who also created New York's Central Park. In North Dakota is Dakota Thunder. The world's largest sculpin of an American bison, Dakota Thunder, is a massive 26-foot-tall bison located in Frontier Village in Jamestown. It's one of the main roadside attractions in the Midwest. The area features original buildings from the Frontier Villages of North Dakota, which have been moved to the current site. Here, the National Buffalo Museum is filled with antiques and artifacts from the days of the Prairie Pioneers. Wild West shootouts and stagecoach and pony rides, and more entice. Another great activity here is the Pipestem House Horse Camp and Trail, which offers corrals, tether lines, trailer sites, and access to a 5-mile trail. You can even stay at the nearby Parkhurst Campground. In Ohio, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Legendary music experiences and memorabilia await you at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that is, collections including everything from Britney Spears' original red latex suit to handwritten lyrics by John Lennon, and frequently changing exhibits. You can save $3 buying your ticket online to go into a place where 500,000 people visit annually. Want to hear some live music? Check out what's coming on stage at the Rock Hall, including some free concerts. Oklahoma. The National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum. Located in Oklahoma City, Adventure District, the National Cowboy Western Heritage Museum features an internationally renowned collection of Western art and artifacts from the Old West. Over 10 million people from around the world visit this attraction to learn about this part of history. You can check out a model frontier town and visit three Western Halls of Fame that are devoted to actors, rodeo riders, and great Westerners. Oregon, Multnomah Falls. The deepest lake in the United States is located a few hours from Crater Lake National Park. The fresh, clear water lake is 1,943 feet deep. The formation is thanks to a volcanic eruption from Mount Mazama 7,700 years ago that collapsed the 12,000-feet-tall mountain into the center. The park has been called one of the Seven Wonders of Oregon, which made it a must-see tourist attraction. In Pennsylvania, it's Independence National Park. The true birthplace of America is located in Pennsylvania. Between 4 and 5 million people visit the center to see the Liberty Bell, walk through Independence Hall, and see the first bank of the United States. Standing in the same room in Philadelphia where the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution were signed is a must when traveling to Pennsylvania. In Rhode Island, it's the Newport Mansions. The blue bloods of the Gilded Age once summered in Newport, the mansions set on cliffs overlooking the sparkling Atlantic Ocean. These estates include the Vanderbilt's Breakers, the Marble House, Rosecliff, and Chateau Sommer within Newport's Bellevue Avenue Historic District. Today, many open for touring, and you can even stay the night in a chandelier at Cliff Walk, which dates back to the 1870s. The mansions are some of the most visited places in New England, surpassing some of the biggest museums in Boston. South Carolina, the Charleston History Tour. Take a horse-drawn carriage and tour historic Charleston, where you get up close and personal with Charleston's antebellum mansions, churches, and gardens. Palmetto Carriage Works features guides with some serious wit and top-notch historical accuracy. Exploring the various parts of Charleston is even frequently mentioned on things you have to do before leaving Charleston. South Dakota, the Mount Rushmore and More Tour. Boy, that's a mouthful. Experience South Dakota's Black Hills region, where, among other things, the iconic presidential sculptures of Mount Rushmore. Your tour will take you to the Crazy Horse Memorial in Custer State Park. Be sure to walk the presidential trail if you've always wanted to get up close and personal to those grand and towering sculptures, where various prime vantage points along your walk will allow you perfect photo ops. Don't miss a chance to be one of the 2 million annual visitors to this national park. Tennessee, Graceland. Head to the Memphis to see all that represents America, one and only king, Elvis Presley. Graceland is the longtime home of the iconic center, serves as the third most visited private home in the country, and over 20 million people have toured it. Inside this estate, you'll find shag carpeting, blinding red fur, and leopard print. If you're looking for discounts on anything Elvis, from memorabilia to Graceland tickets, become a Graceland insider. Also, be sure to come after 2 p.m. to avoid the big crowds. Texas, the Best of Austin Tour. The Best of Austin Tour is a two-hour crash course covering the city's best sites, from major landmarks to the lesser-known insider gems. It's rated on TripAdvisor as one of the best things to do. These include Graffiti Park, the state capitol, and a food truck that sells cake on a stick. Tickets are $37.90. Utah and Zion National Park. Located at the intersection of the Colorado Plateau, the Mojave Desert, and the Great Basin, Zion is a half-mile deep canyon that's carved into the red rocks that make for an incredibly magical landmark. For a truly awe-inspiring experience, check out the Emerald Pools within Zion National Park, upper, middle, and lower. Three trails of varying lengths and skill, levels all filled with awe-inspiring natural beauty. This is one of the most visited national parks in the entire country. And in Vermont, it's one of my favorite things, Ben & Jerry's Factory. Ice cream lovers won't want to miss Ben & Jerry's Factory in Waterbury, where visitors can watch the confection being made during a 30-minute tour that also includes a scoop room that serves us flavors not available at the grocery store. The location of the factory is especially cool because it was the original building of Ben & Jerry's offices and factory. About 350,000 people visit the Act Factory annually. Gee, I wonder if they have free samples. Virginia, Colonial Williamsburg. Colonial Williamsburg is the place to go to immerse yourself in historic America. It's the largest tourist attraction in the city, too. This isn't just a place where things once happened. They're happening right now here in the 18th century, the website boasts. There are a variety of historic reenactments, including meetups with revolutionary thinkers, a visit to a blacksmith shop, and tours of the slave quarters at the home of a prominent family of the time. Visitors can also enjoy colonial-inspired dining, carriage rides, and more. Washington is Pike Place Market. Pike Place Market is a must-see when you're in Seattle. The open-air market offers crafts, foods, brews, buskers, and a whole lot of liveliness. The public market is one of the oldest farmers' markets in the country, covering 9 acres from Pike Street North to Virginia Street, and from First Avenue to Western Avenue. When you're not eating, drinking, and supping on the lower levels, or taking advantage of the market's historic arcade, be sure to peruse the events calendar for events, including cooking classes and burlesque shows. You'll be missing out if you're not one of 10 million visitors to come through. In West Virginia, it's Bridge Day. Every year on the third Saturday of October, Fayette County celebrates Bridge Day, an annual day and party when the Western Hemisphere's longest arch bridge turns pedestrian only. It draws nearly 80,000 people, and the bridge is filled with the thud of hundreds of craft and food vendors. You can even bungee jump off of the bridge. It's the largest base jumping event in the world, and you want to stay in town for the weekend to experience the bridge jam at the Cascade Festival grounds on Maple Avenue. Then there's a picture of this bridge. Boy, it's high. Wisconsin Dells Water Park. If you thought you needed to go to Florida or California to get some fun in the sun, then you'd be mistaken. The coastal states don't have any popular tourist attraction atop the water park capital of the world, Wisconsin Dells. In 1989, the park opened to the country's first indoor water park, and today it's still America's largest indoor and outdoor water park. There are more than 200 water slides to accommodate the 4 million annual sliders. The most popular months to visit are June through August, but you can beat some of the crowd if you slide in between March and May. And last but not least is Wyoming, the Grand Teton National Park. Grand Teton National Park, which includes Teton Mountain Range, the 4,000-meter Grand Teton Peak, and the Jackson Hole Valley, is a popular destination for its mountaineering, hiking, backcountry camping, and fishing. It has broken its own visitation records for consecutive years. On a brushback buck tours, you're practically guaranteed to spot elk, moose, bison, wolves, and grizzly bears. And that is the tour of all the states. And with that, we'll switch over to Consumer Reports. This is a pretty important article here. Choose the right bank for you. Tired of high fees, low yields on savings, and poor customer service? There are more ways than ever to get what you need. Consumer banking is changing fast. As you may have noticed, many walk-in banks are no longer providing the level of customer service they used to, as they close branches, cut staff, and ask customers to use technology to handle basic banking needs. Meanwhile, online-only banks, which have no branches at all, and so-called neobanks, tech companies that offer bank-like services online, even though they are often not chartered banks, have proliferated, ushering in some promising innovations and pushing the old guard to evolve. But some of these innovators have drawbacks of their own, such as limited resources for consumer service should something go wrong, consumer advocates say. Hundreds of customers of one neobank, Chime, for example, recently complained to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that the company was slow to resolve their problems after they lost access to their funds. The upshot? More reasons than ever to question whether you're banking at the right place, and growing odds that if you're dissatisfied with your current bank, there's a financial company that can better serve your needs. What follows are five common banking complaints and tips on how to find a bank that's better for you. Keep in mind that it might make sense to bank at no more than one place. By choosing one institution for your basic banking and bill paying, for example, and another for maxing out the interest on your savings. And make sure to think about your future needs. Some valuable banking services, small dollar loans that could be quickly approved online, for example, are often available only to pre-existing customers. And fees that might not affect you now could prove costly if, say, your household budget tightens. Number one complaint. You're unhappy with customer service. Some of us may recall the days of relationship banking and familiar faces at the teller window, but that fair experience is fading into the past for all except clients whose large deposits can buy them access to concierge-type services like dedicated tellers. The rest of us are expected, even by walk-in banks, to handle many of our banking chores ourselves. But experts say ordinary customers can still find solid service if they focus on the types of service they want and need, and are willing to use different institutions to satisfy them. Conveniently located walk-in branches are obviously crucial, for example, if you're looking for traditional in-person banking services, such as the ability to get certified checks or make large cash withdrawals. And if something goes wrong, it can be efficient to straighten out the problem face-to-face. But an institution that maintains normal working hours may not be right for you if that doesn't suit your schedule, says Matthew Goldberg, banking analyst for Bankrate. So seek out one of a number of banks that now offer evening and weekend hours at some locations, including BMF's TD Bank until 7 p.m. on some weekdays, and several hours on weekends at some branches, and Capital One, Saturdays at some branches. If you want to reach a human by phone, numerous banks, including several online-only institutions, have agents available 24/7. Highly personalized service is harder to come by, of course, but you may be more likely to get it at a small community bank, regional bank, or credit union, say banking experts we spoke with. Those institutions are more vested in their communities, so you may be able to develop a personal relationship with staff members and even get a direct phone number to call if you have a question or concern. But none of this is a given, even with smaller banks. If that's the kind of service you want, ask friends, family, and neighbors about their experience with particular local institutions, and meet with a few local branch managers to ask about the accessibility of their staff. Lauren Sanders, a consumer protection law expert at the National Consumer Law Center, says that smaller community banks and credit unions are less likely than national institutions to offer robust websites and apps, as well as a broad assortment of financial products. Those, too, are a kind of customer service, so build those factors into your designation or your decision. Number two, you're getting next to no interest on savings. According to a survey at Bankrate, the average interest rate on savings account was around 0.2% in mid-December, nearly zero. But Bankrate and NerdWallet list nearly a dozen banks earning 3% or better, and several pushing 4%. Some of the neobanks go even higher. It makes sense that high-yield savings accounts are being offered by banks that don't have to cover the overhead of walk-in branches. But those days, a broad range of banks and credit unions are using higher rates to attract depositors, and that includes institutions that maintain physical branches. Capital One, for example, was paying 3.3% in mid-December. Details matter when you choose a savings account based on yield. Watch for the monthly fees or rates that may apply only under certain conditions, such as maintaining a deposit of a certain size. Your ATM fees are readily adding up. The average cost of an out-of-network ATM withdrawal is now $4.66, according to a 2022 study by Bankrate. Those fees can really add up, but there are several ways to avoid them. The easiest way is to choose a bank with a lot of in-network ATMs near you and avoid drawing cash anywhere else. But that may not be a solution if you travel a lot or live in a community without in-person banking facilities. Another is to choose a bank that's part of a large ATM network, such as Allpoint, MoneyPass, Pulse, or Star. These networks are mainly used by online community banks and credit unions that don't have large ATM networks of their own, says Chanel Bessette, banking spokesperson for NerdWallet. Many credit unions, for example, are part of a co-op network of more than 30,000 no-fee ATMs located in credit unions and many retail locations. To figure out which network would be best for you, use the ATM locator tools they have online to search by zip code. Finally, a number of banks reimburse customers for out-of-network ATM fees. Some cap the monthly amount they'll cover, while others will reimburse ATM fees only if you maintain a set minimum deposit amount. Because they generally don't maintain their own ATMs, online banks tend to offer reimbursement with caps. Number 4. You're paying overdraft fees. You can avoid certain overdraft fees by opting out of all overdraft programs, in which case your bank will simply decline merchant or ATM traction if your account is short the funds. But that can expose you to insufficient fund or NSF fees. Between the two U.S. banks that bought in almost $15.5 billion in 2019, according to estimates in 2021 Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's study, several forces, however, are working to rein in such fees. One is competition from online banks and neobanks, many of which promise to never charge those fees. Other is pressure from regulators who have been targeting surprise and junk fees. As a result, several large national banks have lowered or even eliminated certain fees. Again, the details matter. Some banks eliminated NSF fees, but not overdraft fees. Others decreased overdraft fees or limited the number of overdraft fees they'll charge per day. Still others added buffers, such as grace periods or cushion overdraft amounts below which they won't charge a fee. And a few, including Citi and Capital One, have eliminated these fees altogether. In addition, a program called Bank On, joinbankon.org, part of the nonprofit Cities for Financial Empowerment Fund, has certified certain types of accounts at more than 300 banks and credit unions across the country that abide by its standard, which includes zero overdraft and NSF fees. Number 5. You need a small loan and your bank isn't helping. Banks have not historically offered customers short-term small-dollar loans, which is one reason so many Americans looking to fill small budget shortfalls turn to payday and other lenders that tend to charge sky-high rates and often trap borrowers in cycles of debt. Since about 2010, credit unions have been an exception, with many of them offering payday alternative loans or PALS, P-A-L-S's, ranging from $200 to $1,000 and interest rates maxing out at 28%. The typical rate on a payday loan is about 400%. In the past few years, however, six big U.S. banks have begun offering customers nearly instant small-dollar loans without running credit checks. Bank of America, Huntington Bank, Regions Bank, Truist, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo will give existing checking account holders loans of up to $500 to $1,000, depending on the bank, to be paid back in 3 or 4 monthly installments. To qualify, you may need to have been a customer for at least several months. Most charge modest flat fees between $5 and $25. For a lot of Americans, this is going to be the least expensive way to borrow $500, says Alec Horowitz, consumer finance researcher at the Pew Charitable Trust. Even for consumers with access to lower-cost credit, like home equity lines of credit or low-interest credit cards, the fact that these loans cost relatively little can land in your account within minutes of filling out a short online application makes them very appealing. Breaking up with your bank. If you decide that you want to switch, here's the step to take. First, open a new account before closing the existing one. For many banks, including some with physical branches, this can be a relatively fast online process. You may need to make an initial deposit to avoid monthly or other fees. Number 2, send funds to your new account. To do this, you could use your old bank's online and mobile banking bill payment service, or the Zelle Money Transfer Service, or write a check from the old account to deposit into the new one. Number 3, contact your employer or Social Security, ask them to move any direct deposits to the new institution. You can reach the Social Security Administration at 800-772-1213 or use ssa.gov/myaccount. Direct deposit may also make you eligible for free checking. Number 5. Stop automatic bill payments from the old account. This can be easily done via the old bank's website. If you've been using its online bill payment feature for sending out so-called push payments, if you have authorized a company or utility provider to pull payments from your account, you'll need to contact the company and follow its procedure for stopping payment. We recommend that you avoid the pull method in the future so that you can have more control over your account. Next, keep the old account open until all checks and payments have cleared. That will keep you from getting only hit with any extra fees. And next, set up automatic bill paying on the new account. Also set up the other account features you use, such as alerts or automatic money transfers. Finally, close the old account. Zero out any remaining balance by having the old bank electronically transfer the funds to your new account or by obtaining a cashier's check or cash. There should be no fee to close accounts that you have had for more than a few months. And, sorry, I'm having trouble with the pages here. We got it now. How to shop around. Once you've decided to look for a new or additional bank, you have to do some work to find the institution that best fits your needs. Here's how. Pay a visit to a walk-in bank you may be considering. This is important if in-person banking is important to you. You want to confirm that the hours are convenient and the staffing is adequate, and that the branch offers services that you desire, such as having a notary on hand. For the best savings rate, shop around online. To save time and find a lot of information in one place, websites like Bankrate and NerdWallet do an admirable job of compiling and keeping up with ever-changing rates and terms associated with various bank accounts. Be warned that these for-profit sites, and many others like them, are riddled with financial ads and can be hard to distinguish the ads from the data that the sites have compiled. Find out about fees, whether you do research online or in person at local bank branches. A supposedly free checking account with no monthly fee isn't a bargain if it hits you with huge fees when you overdraw by a few dollars, and a high-interest savings account won't do you any good if getting that rate requires that you maintain a larger balance than you ordinarily have in reserve or spend a boatload each month on a credit card. And now let's switch over to the road report. There's a sneak peek on the new Toyota Prius. For 2023, the Toyota Prius Hybrid and the Prius Prime Plug-in Hybrid have gone through a dramatic redesign. A new streamlined shape makes the car sleeker and more aerodynamic, and an upgraded electric drive compared with a stronger gas engine gives it more power and even better gas mileage. Toyota says the new Prius will get up to 57 miles per gallon, more than its already astounding 52 miles per gallon, and acceleration is expected to be much quicker. All-wheel drive is again optional, and standard blind spot warning and rear cross traffic warning join a robust of active safety features. Check your tires before driving in the cold. While it's always smart to check your tires regularly for pressure and wear, this practice is extra important in the winter. Every 10-degree drop in air temperature can result in a 1 to 2 psi decrease of pressure, and decreases of just a few psi can have an impact on tire longevity and safety. Be sure to ensure your car's tire pressure with a reliable gauge before driving. When the tires are truly cold, don't rely on your car's tire pressure monitoring system, because some fail to trigger a warning even if the pressure is down as much by 5 psi. The vital statistic, 88%. The percentage of 2023 new cars that come with automatic emergency braking, AEB, with pedestrian detection as a standard equipment. That's up from 38% in 2019. CR has been part of the initiative to push car makers to include such key safety systems and has called on them to commit to making AEB standard. And is now the time to shop for a used car? After used car prices soared in the last stratosphere in the last year, costs have started to come back down. According to auto data analyst Cox Automotive, the average used vehicle price slipped to about $27,000 in November, down about 2% compared with last year. Used car inventory, which had shriveled, has also reached pre-pandemic levels. Although we're still not in the territory where there are great deals to be had, the price drop offers some hope to used car shoppers, who can no longer wait to buy a vehicle. But those who are paying with cash will benefit most. If you have to finance, rising interest rates may deflate the lower price. The cars people love the most. Sports cars, electric vehicles, and hybrids top our list of the most satisfying vehicles, while some luxury models bring up in CR's latest owner satisfaction survey. The models may have changed, but some long-standing trends stayed the same in CR's 2022 owner satisfaction survey. As in prior years, reliable workaday vehicles aren't as prized as automotive peacocks that promise luxury fuel and energy efficient gas or electric, or pulse quickening performance and actually deliver. Case in point, our latest survey once again finds that entry-level luxury cars and SUVs are among the least satisfying vehicles to own because they fail to deliver on the luxury promise. How do we define owner satisfaction? It's measured by the answer to this key question. Given the opportunity, would you buy or lease this vehicle again? This year, we received responses from more than 300,000 cars, SUVs, trucks, and vans. Our findings on the brands and models that offer the highest and lowest satisfaction can help you make a successful match with a new car. Read on for trends that surface in the survey, along with the brands and models that most satisfy CR members and the ones that disappoint. And we'll read that later because we don't want to How about a couple of dark jokes to close out our day today, since it's kind of a dark day here? I don't have a carbon footprint. I just drive everywhere. The most corrupt CEOs are those pretzel companies. They're always so twisted. When we were kids, we used to be afraid of the dark. But when we grew up, the electricity bill made us afraid of the light. What did the asteroid that killed the dinosaur say? T-Rex, I'm coming for my hug. And an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Or at least it does if you throw it hard enough. I have a stepladder because my real ladder left when I was just a kid. I visited my friend at his new house, and he told me to make myself at home. So I threw him out. I hate having visitors. I was playing chess with my friend, and he said, let's make this interesting. So we stopped playing chess. Why did Mozart hate all of his chickens? When he asked them who the best composer was, they all replied, Bach, Bach, Bach. The other day, my wife asked me to pass her lipstick, but I actually passed her a glue stick. She still isn't talking to me. The other day, my wife asked me, feeling cheesy, try these corny jokes. We'll do some more of these dark jokes first. Patient. Oh, doctor, I'm just so nervous. This is my first operation. The doctor. Don't worry, it's mine, too. I just got my doctor's test results, and I'm not really upset. Turns out I'm not going to be a doctor. Never break someone's heart. They only have one. Break their bones instead. They have 206 of them. My husband is mad at me that I have no sense of direction. So I packed up my stuff and write. I childproofed my house somehow. They still got back in. The guy who stole my diary just died. My thoughts are with his family. What's worse than biting into an apple and discovering a worm? Biting into an apple and discovering half a worm. As I get older, I remember all the people I lost along the way. Maybe a career as a tour guide was not the right choice. My wife told me she'll slam my head into the keyboard if I don't get off the computer. I'm not too worried. I think she's... You're completely useless if you can serve as always a bad example. A man walks into a magic forest, tries to cut down a talking tree. You can't cut me down, the tree complains. I'm a talking tree. The man responds, you may be talking tree, but you a dialogue. What's a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet? None. Historians have suggested that most pirates would have been illiterate. Welcome back to Plastic Surgery Anonymous. Nice to see so many new faces here today. My wife left a note on the fridge that said, this isn't working. I'm not sure what she's talking about. I opened the fridge door, and it seems to be working fine. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.